We're going to turn tonight to John chapter 14 in our Bibles. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 15 down to the end of the chapter, through verse 31. John chapter 14 and verse 15, and I know what you're saying, I can hear you say it. Pastor Donnie, we already looked at this passage the Sunday night before Easter, and you're right, and I'm thankful that you've been paying attention and following where we're at in the book of John. That's always an encouragement. And we did. We looked at it two Sunday nights ago about the Holy Spirit, but we're going to look at it again because I didn't feel that we covered everything and all that's there in this passage, and I think there's a lot more that we can get out of it, and Lord willing, we will tonight. But in John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Let's start with prayer tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have another opportunity to spend it in the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for that this evening. Thank you that we can get together as a church around your Word and worship you. And Lord, our desire tonight is that you would teach us from your Word. And we pray that you would help us to see exactly what you have for us tonight. And we rejoice in the fact that even though we're all different, yet you are able to meet the needs of our heart. And we're thankful that you can do that through your Holy Spirit and through your Word. And so we ask for that this evening. And may you be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I discovered recently that there's a special village in Sweden, in Norrbotten County, in that country. And the name of the village is Vittangi Village. And in 2010, they had less than 800 people in this village, so it's a smaller village. But in that village, there is one kind of large family group, an extended family in that village. And among that family, there is a high number of cases and incidents of a special condition that's called congenital analgesia. And now that basically means that they have an inability to feel pain. They don't have a sensitivity to pain like a normal person would have. I know maybe at first that sounds great. You know, some of you have been through some painful things and you think, you know, it'd be nice to not have to feel pain in those times. But we also know that it has real complications and implications for those people, especially children that can't feel pain and they don't have that. Because pain in those beginning years, it's teaching them, right, what things that are not good for their body and what things are going to be harmful for them. And there's not that in these kids that have that condition. So that reflex to pull away from pain is not going to be there for them. And God uses pain in our life to point out like things that are wrong with our body, right? When you break a bone internally or have something wrong internally, it's the pain often that will alert you to that. And so you can go and get it taken care of. And God's done that for a reason. And God has given us these sensations that we have, and we can even talk about emotions that He's given to us for a reason. And in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples about a sensation. And He wasn't talking to them about the ability to feel pain. He's talking to them about the ability to feel love, and specifically the love of God in their life. Now, God has infused love with emotion. Right? Love isn't just emotion, but it is. It does have emotion as part of that. When God created the ability to love, He put with it this emotion that we know of as love. And God knows that you're an emotional being. God knows that some of you could be less emotional in your life. And God also knows that some of us could be more emotional in our life. And God knows that. God knows all about who we are. And He knows the emotions that we have. And God has created us to be emotional beings. And when we talk about love, God wants you to feel loved by Him. God wants you to know that you are loved, and He wants you to feel loved by Him. But many times we find a condition in our hearts where we say, how come I don't feel loved by God? How come I don't feel the love of God? It seems like I have a condition where I'm unable to feel the love of God in my heart. I'm unable to feel His love. And maybe that's happened to you, and maybe that's where you're at right now, where you're asking the question that we're going to ask tonight, which is, where's the love? Where is God's love for me? And you say, I know what the Bible says, but why don't I feel like God loves me? Why don't I feel like God loves me? And it could be that you think, well, maybe there's some disconnect between what the Bible says and what is taking place in my life. And it feels like there's something that's not right there. There's some connection that's not there. And you say, maybe I should just be content. Maybe I should just be content knowing that God loves me, but not really experiencing it, not really feeling God's love in my life. And oftentimes when it comes to emotions, we're not that quick to talk about some of them. But God wants us to deal with this. And God wants us to deal with not only knowing that we're loved, but feeling that God loves us. And those emotions that God wants us to have about Him and from Him. Because God has not gifted us with an unemotional relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not given us a relationship that where we need to be completely stone-faced and cold in our relationship with God, where it's just a stoic relationship with no emotion whatsoever. God has not created us to have that sort of relationship with Him. But He's made us human. He's made us who we are. He's made us with emotions. And God wants those emotions to be present in our relationship with Him, including this emotion of love. He wants us to feel loved by Him. And so in John chapter 14, Jesus covers three topics that maybe at the start feel a little disjointed. Because He talks about love, He talks about the Holy Spirit, and He talks about obedience and keeping His commandments. And what we're going to do tonight as we look through this is we're going to try and tie all of them together, because there's an important message that we need to grasp tonight, that we need to get a hold of in our lives. And hopefully all the pieces will click into place tonight, and we'll find the answer to our question, where's the love? And so tonight we're just going to have 2 points. So Lord willing, we won't be super long tonight. I think that's the sound of all our nursery workers rejoicing tonight. And by nursery workers, I mean all you moms at home with your kids, you know, trying to keep them quiet, tell them to stop touching each other and all the things that kids do. But in John chapter 14 and verse 15 and 16, our first point is this. Love is in the Holy Spirit. Love is in the Holy Spirit. So look in verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So Jesus desired the Holy Spirit would come to these disciples and to all believers and minister to them. And again, we looked at this two Sunday nights ago, and we used the title, "You're in good hands," right? With the Holy Spirit, we've been left in good hands. And we talked about three ways that the Holy Spirit ministers to us. We talked about his comfort or his support. We talked about his power, and we talked about his teaching. To that, we could also add, we know the Holy Spirit works in convicting us, and we also know that he's involved in our prayer life, helping us as we pray to God. But in verse 21, there's another ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we find that in the end, but we'll read the entire verse. Jesus said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." So Jesus said, I'm going to manifest myself to people, to those that follow me, to those that obey. The word manifest means to appear or reveal. So Jesus was talking about giving them proof that he was alive, basically, this continual manifestation, not just to those who saw him crucified, where they would see that he is alive, but to every single believer, he has given us this manifestation, this proof in our hearts that he is still alive, that we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today, and he's in our life. But in verse 22, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, as the Bible points out, he would be the one that is often called Thaddeus. He asks this question, "Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" So he basically says, how will you do that unto us only? Right? And his idea is if Jesus Christ appears after his death to people, then a lot of people will see that. And how is he going to be able to restrict that? So he says, how are you going to just show yourself to us and not unto the world? And Jesus says in verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And he's just referencing back to verse 16, where he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And Jesus says to Judas, he says, "I will manifest myself to you by the Holy Spirit." This another comforter who's just like me, if you remember what we said 2 weeks ago, he's just like me, and he will abide with you forever. And through him, I will manifest myself to you. But what's interesting is Jesus also connects it both times in verses 21 and 23 with love. And so look what he says in verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Both times he connects the indwelling Holy Spirit as he manifests Jesus Christ to these disciples with knowing that God loves them. And I want us to look at three passages where we're going to see this tonight as we look at love is in the Holy Spirit. The first one is in Romans chapter 5. And I want you to turn there with me. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed." I want you to see this next part. "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, if we were to move down to verse 8, we're familiar with that one. Verse 8 is, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So God commended or demonstrated or showed to us his love. And that is the evidence of God's love through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. That is for the world, right? God showed everybody his love through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But in verse 5, Paul is writing to those that believe, those that have been justified through Jesus Christ. And he says, those that have been saved now know the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. And this is the experience, experiencing God's love and feeling the love of God by the Holy Spirit. The word shed abroad literally means to be poured out or a flood. Sometimes the kids, when we're sitting around the table for a meal, the kids will ask me for more of whatever it is they're drinking. And they'll ask for, you know, more milk or water or juice or whatever it is. And sometimes I will take their glass and I will just put like 4 drops in their cup and then I'll hand it back to them. And, you know, they think I'm the funniest thing ever. And they're like, wow, Dad, that's so funny. Can I have more milk now? And I'll do it again, you know, and they'll be like, yeah, that's hilarious. Now, can I just have more milk? And then I'll fill it up. Well, sometimes I find it funny to just joke with them and put just a few drops in their cup instead of pouring it out. You know, God doesn't find it funny to just give us a little bit of his love, just to kind of toy with us and play around with us and say, I'll let them experience a little bit of love. I'll let them feel just a small bit of love. Paul says, listen, he wants to shed abroad. He wants to flood your heart with God's love so that you feel God's love. And it's this emotion, this sensation. I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 3, our second passage. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, another passage that Paul is writing. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I want us to go back to the end of verse 16 where he's talking about that this is accomplished by his Spirit in the inner man. This is the working, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he says one of those is to know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ. And you get the sense that as Paul is writing this, in the language that he uses, how he puts it all together, that he's not just talking about like this knowledge in his head. He's not just talking that the Holy Spirit would remind you about the facts and the evidence and the events that have taken place. He's talking about knowing the love of God. It meant more to Paul than just a list of things that have happened. This was something that was emotional for Paul, to feel the love of God in his heart. And then one other passage in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. As John writes, and John writes a lot about love in his books, and again here in 1 John. But 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And then back in verse 13, just to give us a little context, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. But he says that we dwell in love, and those that dwell in love dwell in God. And he says that's, again, through the Holy Spirit. And we see it consistently in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. And it's more than just knowledge, because he doesn't talk about in our head. He says in our heart, right, that it's this love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. It's this emotion that God gives to us. And he gives us his love, not just to know it, but to feel it and to feel the love of God in our life. And so if we were to sum this up, this point Jesus says to the disciples back in John chapter 14, he says to them, I'm going to continue to manifest myself to you. The love that I had for you, you will continue to know and feel that love. And he says, the way I'm going to do that is through the Holy Spirit. But really, that hasn't answered our question yet, right? Because we're talking about, why don't I feel the love of God as a believer? And every believer has the Holy Spirit of God, right? Everyone that trusts in Jesus Christ is given the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. But it hasn't answered our question because it's believers that many times struggle with this. Why don't I feel the love of God? And if we have the Holy Spirit, then why am I still struggling? Why do I still sometimes not feel like God loves me? And that brings us to the second thing tonight. And our second point is this. Love is in obedience. Love is in obedience. Now, back in John chapter 14, we find that Jesus is remarkably consistent in emphasizing this point about obedience and keeping his commandments. And I want us to see this quickly. In verse 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." The beginning of verse 24, he kind of reverses it. "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." And then in the end of verse 31, by way of example, the end of verse 31, he says, "As the Father gave me commandment, even so do I." And he's talking about keeping his commandments, obedience. And we look at that and go, that's very broad, right? I mean, to talk about keeping his commandments, that covers so much. We go through all of the Bible and find multitudes of commandments that we know God wants us to obey, that God wants us to keep. And then we ask, well, really, what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? What's the connection here between love and this and the Holy Spirit? And there's a progression here in verse 21, right? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." So there's the believer's obedience, right? The believer makes the choice to obey the commandments of God, to do what he knows is right. Then we have, "He it is," in the middle of verse 21, "He it is that loveth me," right? So obedience is a sign of our love for God. And then it says this, "He that loveth me by keeping commandments shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Our love for God is rewarded by us feeling and experiencing God's love for us. Now, we would say, well, doesn't God love everybody? And yes, God does. It's very clear in the Bible that God loves every single person. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," and we don't put any restrictions on that. We say God loves the world. God wants every single person to be saved. And I can look confidently at every single person tonight and say, God loves you, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, who you think you are, how bad or good you think you are, God loves you. And he loved you so much to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross to take your sin away. And God loves every single person. It's all through the Word of God that God loves the whole world. But tonight I want to draw a distinction between the evidence of God's love and the experience of God's love. The evidence of God's love is constant, but the experience of God's love is conditional. I want to illustrate it this way. A father has two sons. He has two children, and he tells both of them that he loves them. And so they live with him in the house with their mother, and the father shows his love to them by letting them live in that house and providing for them, giving them clothes and food. He does all that for them. He spends time with them, and he's just that loving father to them, and he provides them with an abundance of evidence that he loves them. And then they also experience that. They experience the love of their father and spending time with him and just that relationship. And they have this good relationship with both the evidence of love and the experience of love. But the father has also laid down some rules for his household. And he said, there are certain things that you, as my child, are not going to do. So one of these sons breaks one of these laws and he lies to his father and he gets caught in that lie. And it's because of that lie that then his experience of love changes. The father has to discipline him, right? And yes, that is an evidence of love. But for that child, the experience of love is vastly different from what he has experienced before. And now he has that experience of guilt and of punishment and of shame. Now the evidence is still there. He's still in that same house. He's still wearing those clothes. He's still eating that food. He's still spending time with his father. The evidence has not changed, but the experience of his love has changed. The obedient son has the same evidence, but his experience of love is still the same. Tonight, you'll always be able to say, I know that Jesus loves me. You'll always be able to say that. You'll be able to point to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and say, based on what Jesus has done for me, I know he loves me. You will always be able to point to your salvation and say, because he washed my sins away, I know Jesus loves me. You will always be able to go to the Word of God and say, based on what God has said, I know Jesus loves me. But you may not always feel like Jesus loves you, because that changes. That is conditional. And that is conditional upon our obedience. And that's what Jesus Christ is pointing out to them. And that's why Jesus Christ told them what we need to catch tonight, and that is this in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Jesus told them to keep his commandments. And I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Because Paul puts it a different way, and this is going to tie things together tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, where Jesus said, obey. He said, keep my commandments. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. He says, grieve not, or don't offend, don't make sorrowful the Spirit of God. And this is what ties it together. The verses surrounding verse 30 in Ephesians chapter 4 give us examples of how we grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we were to sum them up, we would say it's disobedience. It's not obeying God. In verse 25, he says, put away lying. In verse 26, he says, don't be angry. Verse 27, he says, don't give in to, in verse 27, don't give in to the devil. Verse 28, don't steal. Verse 29, no ungodly words, no corrupt communication. Verse 31, he lists bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. And he says, put all of those things away from you. He says, obey. Obey God, and in doing that, you will not grieve the Holy Spirit. But disobedience grieves the Holy Spirit. And in that grieving, there is then a hindrance of the ministry and the working of the Holy Spirit. That disobedience which shows a lack of love toward our Savior. And the presence of sin that we harbor in our lives and that we indulge in our hearts, grieves the Holy Spirit. And it is that it's that same sin that then changes our experience. Because all of a sudden when we sin, we start to experience that conviction of the Holy Spirit. And with that, there is that grief. And there's that shame that is then our experience in our relationship with God. And that dissatisfaction, that sorrow is shepherding us toward repentance and toward turning away from that sin. And then So when we sin, God changes our experience, and we no longer experience that love, and instead we experience conviction, and we experience the chastening of God. And I want us to look in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews is introducing the topic of chastening. Chastening of those that are saved, the sons of God, believers. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Right in the middle there, he says, in verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, why does he have to tell us that he loves us even when he chastens us? Because that's not our experience. We're not experiencing love. Now, Our mind tells us, yes, we understand that this is the love of God in chastening me. We have that evidence, but we don't have that experience. Our experience has changed. And in that, he reaffirms and he says, I still love you. My love for you has not changed, but your experience of that love has changed in your sin and in your disobedience. Sin is that stone that blocks the flow of God's love from flooding our hearts. And honestly, it's the same with joy and peace. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And these things that the Holy Spirit produces in those Christians that are right with God are no longer there in our experience when we sin, when we choose to take that path. Did God love Adam and Eve before and after the fall? Yes, God did. But boy, their experience changed, didn't it? Their experience with God in their relationship with Him before their sin and after their sin was vastly different. Now, I'm thankful tonight that there's forgiveness with God. We heard that this morning. But there is forgiveness with God. And that's there's comfort in that, and there's confidence in that. And confession and repentance and forgiveness bring restoration. And they bring that experience of love back. But refusal and stubbornness to continue in sin brings more chastening. And I believe that God's first method of chastening his children isn't circumstantial. It's not breaking your leg or some sickness or your car breaking down. That's not God's first method. I'm not saying he never uses that, but I believe his first method of chastening is emotional, where God removes the joy and the peace and the feeling of love that he desires his children to have. He takes that away. And in that, there's that signal. I need to repent. I need to turn back to God. I have disobeyed. And then when there's restoration, God can shed abroad his love in our heart by the Holy Spirit. But he wants that for every single believer. He wants us to know his love. There's love in the Holy Spirit, and there is love in obedience. And so back in John chapter 14, in verse 21, Jesus said this, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And our question tonight is, where's the love? And maybe tonight you've never really understood the evidence of God's love. And maybe you've never really had it explained to you how much God loves you. And the Bible says that God loves you, and that God has commended his love toward you, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for your sins. And the death on the cross that Jesus Christ did for you was done out of love. Last Sunday, we remembered the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead to give you salvation so that he could wash away your sins, and that not only can you know his love, but you can experience his love when you trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. Well, tonight I wonder for those that are saved, if you know the experience of his love. If you really know the experience, the feeling of God's love. And if tonight, if we ask God that question, where's the love? Then we have to ask ourselves the question, where's the obedience? Where's the obedience in my life? Where's the obedience in your life? Where is our keeping of God's commandments? Because it's always easy to point the finger in a relationship at someone else and say, you know what, if they were more loving, I would feel more loved. And if they did this, I would feel more loved. And we can almost point that finger at God and say, you know what, if he maybe did something more for me, I would feel more loved. And we can point at God and say, you know what, if God provided more, if God blessed me more, if God did more of this, then I would feel more of God's love. But tonight, Jesus asks us to look at our own behavior and say, have I been keeping his commandments? Have I really been obeying? I don't know if you've ever tried playing tennis before, but if you play it by yourself, I've found it to be pretty boring. It's also not very fun if one person is not able to return the ball over the net, right? If they keep hitting it into the net, that gets old pretty fast. But imagine tonight that you're playing tennis with someone and you serve the ball and you serve it over the net, underhand if you're bad, overhand if you're good. And you serve the ball over the net, and they catch it. That's all they do. They catch the ball, and they put it down. And then you serve another one over there, and they just watch it go by. And then they look at you, go, you know, this, and they look at you and they say, man, this is really boring. You know, boy, I'm not having any fun playing tennis. You know, you'd look back at them and go, well, that's because you're not hitting the ball back. I mean, that's, you're not doing your part. If you did your part, you would have a different experience with this whole tennis thing. And you know, Jesus Christ looks at all of us tonight and said, you know what, if you did your part, you would have a different experience in your relationship with me. And Jesus says, if you're asking where's the love, where's the obedience? And tonight, are you doing your part? Jesus said, I want you to keep my commandments. And Jesus said, by doing that, you will show your love for me. And it's like we expect God to send his love our way, and we expect him to show us his love, and we receive it with open arms, but nothing ever comes from us toward God. There's no love and obedience toward God. It's all like we expect it from God, and we never expect that we need to show our love to God by keeping his commandments. And Jesus said, why aren't you doing your part? There's a part that we need to have in this. So where's the obedience? And we could talk about sins of omission. We could talk about sins of commission. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is conviction. And if you're sincerely asking the question tonight, where's God's love for me? Why don't I feel God's love? Then it's for you to get in the Word of God with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, show me. Show me where I've gone wrong. Show me where I'm disobeying. Show me what I have in my life that has changed my experience and my relationship with you. And the Holy Spirit will do that. But like any person, God doesn't want you to just know that you're loved. God wants you to feel loved. God wants you to feel love in your relationship with him. And tonight, won't you come back to him? And tonight, we're not going to go there, but we could look at the prodigal son. And tonight, that could be you who says, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to stop the disobedience. I'm going to go back to my father. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that God is waiting there with arms open to embrace you in love. And he wants you to not just know that you're loved. He wants you to feel that you're loved. And so tonight, won't that be you? Say, I'm gonna stop the disobedience. I'm going to show my love to God. And I know that I will feel his love. So where's the love tonight? Tonight, love is in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will manifest myself and my love to you through the Holy Spirit. And love is in obedience. Let's close with prayer.